Okay, so let's continue our summer sermon series on interpersonal relationships. So far, we've had forgiveness and openness and honesty. And this morning, as we've heard, it's friendship, based on Proverbs 17:17, but also based on that selection of Proverbs that Jeremy read earlier. We're going to find out what makes a good friend and how we can be a good friend. Proverbs is just jam-packed, full of immense wisdom, life hacks on how to be a good, close friend. And what I did was went through Proverbs and selected all of the verses that had like friend, companion, neighbor, and so on, put them all together, and then picked out the most pertinent verses for the sermon, and they're the ones that we read. So this sermon will basically be a study on those verses. But before we embark on the sermon proper, a mini Hebrew word study for you. This Hebrew word, rea, in Proverbs, it's the most commonly used word for friendship, but it's also translated neighbor. And it really has this meaning of someone you're close to. So the friend, when it's translated friend, that's emotional closeness. But spatial closeness is when it's a neighbor. But they are interchangeable. There is a bit of overlap to the word. And really, you depend on the context in Proverbs to see how to translate it. So in this sermon, we're not talking about casual friendships or acquaintances or Facebook friends or homies. We're talking about deep, close, biblical friends. People who really truly love each other and are deeply close to each other, like the David and Jonathan example that Jeremy shared earlier. So the first thing that Proverbs teaches us about friends is this: when choosing a close friend, be picky. Proverbs warns us and advises us to be cautious when we're choosing who our close friends are. It gives us permission to be picky. It counsels us to be careful when we think about who I want to be my close friend. And we see that in Proverbs 12 and 22. The righteous choose their friends carefully, but the way of the wicked leads them astray. Do not make friends with a hot-tempered person. Do not associate with one easily angered. There's the advice. We're urged to choose our close friends carefully, to reject those who we think, well, they're hot-tempered, they're going to lose their rag, they're easily angered, or whatever it is. I'm going to be careful when I think about my life friends, my deep friends. Be picky, we're told. But why? Why is it so important to choose carefully? Well, first of all, because close friends influence one another. And we see this in Proverbs 13 and 20. Walk with the wise and become wise, for the companion of fools suffers harm. You become who you walk with through life. If your close friend is wise, you'll become wise. But if your close friend is a fool, then undoubtedly you'll suffer some kind of harm. You'll be damaged by that relationship. One who has unreliable friends soon comes to ruin. It's very strong, isn't it? Bad friends will ruin you. It's the warning from Proverbs. Many claim to have unfailing love, but a faithful person, who can find? So Proverbs is saying to us, a faithful friend is like caviar, rare and valuable. So choose carefully. If you find a close friend, you found a good thing. Don't rush into it. Don't just make friends with anyone and everyone. Be picky. But there's another reason why we should be picky. They influence us, close friends do. But also, close friendship is a very unique kind of relationship. And it brings you something that a romantic relationship or family relationships can't bring you. Let's think about family relationships. You can't choose your family, can you? We all know that. You're born with them. You're stuck with them. You must be loyal to them. That's very important. But if we're honest, we might not particularly like our family very much. They're blood, so we want to stick up for them and stand by them, and we do, and that's right. But when we think, who do I want to go out and have a drink with? Who do I want to go to the cinema with? Who do I want to hang out with? Might not necessarily be our family members. They're a bit different. There's a different dynamic to close friends. Or let's think about romantic relationships. Now, you don't choose your family, but you do choose your partner in our culture anyway. And romantic relationships do involve friendship to a certain extent, but the main driver is different, isn't it? It's erotic love, it's romance, it's sexual attraction. And that brings a hugely different dynamic to a relationship than to a relationship where no sex is involved. So again, that's different. Close friendship is unique. It differs from those other two kinds of relationship. Tim Keller puts it like this. Friendship is the only relationship which is not a biological or sociological necessity. You're blood bound to your family. You're physically, romantically pulled to your mate. But friendship is different from both of those. And we see this in Proverbs 18, verse 24. But there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. And that's actually quite a surprising verse, because it's saying a friend can be closer than a sibling. We kind of think family, the closest relationship there is. But this verse is saying some friends stick closer than brothers stick, than sisters stick, than parents stick, and so on. It's the only close, intimate relationship that isn't bonded by DNA or sexual attraction. It's rather a shared interest or a shared outlook on life or a shared personality type or whatever it is, something that's drawn you together rather than DNA or physical attraction. And this type of friendship, this close friendship, is somewhat neglected in our culture, or not really very kind of revered or thought about very much in our culture. Think about pop music. Think about the songs that reach the top 10. Lots of songs about romance and physical attraction in there, but not so many about close, deep friendship. I looked up this morning the most streamed Spotify songs ever, and the top 10, again, plenty of them have this kind of romantic relationship as a subject of the lyrics, but none of them have close friendship. Think about a streaming service like Netflix. If you look through the different categories of films, you see drama, you see thriller, you see horror, you see adventure, you see comedy, you see romance, rom-com, but there isn't a category called deep, close friendship. It's just not there. There aren't that many films made about that compared to romance or whatever. In my book group, I'm reading Moby Dick, and it's a really good book, very funny, quite a long read, but I've read maybe an eighth of the way through, and I've just met the characters Ishmael and Queequeg. Now, they are two blokes who formed this really close friendship. And it was interesting what I found happening to me as I was reading about that friendship. I was kind of thinking, Herman Melville, the author, he's actually saying they're gay, isn't he? He must be, because you can't be that close and not be gay. He must be talking about that. But actually, he's not. He's describing two men who are extremely close, but don't have a romantic relationship. And it's like in our culture, we can't quite comprehend that. We think, oh, they must be gay, but no, there is such a thing as two men or two women who are very, very close indeed, but who are not sexually attracted to each other and who are not related, who are not family. Close friendship is unique, and it brings great blessings. It brings you something that romantic relationships and family relationships can't, so choose carefully. Be picky, because when you've got such a friend, you're onto something good, and your life will be blessed and enriched. So that's the first thing Proverbs teaches us about friendship. Be picky. The second thing is this. A close friend is sticky, like gum, like glue, like Velcro A close friend is someone who sticks with you no matter what. So they stay your friend in the storm as well as in the calm. They're not the infamous fair weather friend, not at all. They're not that kind of friend. They're not the friend who sort of says, hey, you know you can call me if you need anything. They go beyond that. They're just there when you need anything because they're so closely connected to you. They know when you're struggling and when you need them to turn up. They don't have to ask. That's close friendship. They stick with you. And we see this stickiness in Proverbs 17 and 18. Notice the emphasis here in Proverbs 17:17. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for a time of adversity. Emphasis on loves at all times, through good times and bad, in the dark times and the happy times. They are there through the laughter and the tears. And notice also the slight contrast. A brother is born for a time of adversity. So family are there for you in the time of trouble, aren't they? And that's good, and that's right. A friend is there the whole lot, all through, at all times. Proverbs 18:24. One who has unreliable friends soon comes to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. And that's where I got the term sticky. This word, sticks, in the Hebrew, it means clings to, cleaves to. It can be translated attaches, holds fast. It means sticking to a commitment that is made out of passionate friendship, love. That's the kind of meaning of that word sticks in this context. And a really good example of two friends who stuck with each other, a biblical example is the one that Jeremy gave, but a fictional, famous example of two friends, one of whom stuck to the other one no matter what, is from Lord of the Rings. Samwise Gamgee and Frodo. And we're going to watch a video clip now that really encapsulates that stickiness. So watch Samwise and watch how he reacts to Frodo and see if you can see the stickiness of Sam in this clip. Oh, I just need to compose myself. It's a bit of a tearjerker, that one, isn't it? But it's very poignant, that clip, because in the story, if you know Lord of the Rings, that friendship is even more sticky because Frodo has been awful to Sam, right? Because he's under the influence of this ring. It's making him, it's corrupting him. And yet, Sam stays with him. Sam doesn't say, all right, treat me like that. Fine, go on your own. Go on your own. You're on your own. I'm not taking that anymore. No, he sticks with him. Another thing that makes it more poignant is that he's going to Mordor, and that means danger and possible death. But Sam still says, I'll stick with you. He's so sticky, he's prepared to risk his life for his friend Frodo. And I think Tolkien, in writing that, is really trying to bring to our attention the beauty of this close friendship that we see in Proverbs, this biblical friendship, which is sticky. So, be picky. True friendship is sticky. And then we're to tread sensitively. That's the third thing we notice from the teaching in Proverbs. A close friend treads sensitively. We see this in Proverbs 25, 26, and 27. Like a maniac shooting flaming arrows of death. It's really strongly put, isn't it? Is one who deceives their neighbor and says, I was only joking. If anyone loudly blesses their neighbor early in the morning, it will be taken as a curse. Like one who takes away a garment on a cold day, or like vinegar poured on a wound, ouch, is one who sings songs to a heavy heart. Now notice what's going on in all of these three proverbs. Insensitivity. The one is treating the other very insensitively. So in the maniac one, there's total ignorance of how deadly their deception is. Oh, I was only joking. What? So insensitive. The loudly blesses their neighbor in the morning. They haven't realized that the neighbor is not a morning person. They're insensitive to the personality and the physiology of their neighbor. There's no closeness there. And the last one, the singing songs to a heavy heart, they're not aware that the friend has a heavy heart. And so there's a totally inappropriate response going on that hurts rather than helps. So I want to do a little sort of, almost like a case study here. Author Mark Maynall gives some really helpful examples of, it's kind of like what not to say and what to say. So we'll think of, imagine you've got a friend who has a heavy heart, okay, who's burdened, who's low, who's struggling. On the one hand, if you're emotionally disconnected, like those proverbs that we've just looked at, if you're not really a close friend, you'll say kind of what's on the left-hand column. But then he gives some really helpful examples of what to say for an emotionally connected person who's sensitive to the needs of their friend. So imagine someone goes and visits a friend who has a heavy heart and they say, "Why can't you just snap out of it?" Well, that's not a helpful thing to say at all. That's revealing an insensitivity towards the heaviness of the heart. But a better thing to say, suggested by Mark Maynall, who himself has suffered heaviness of heart massively, is something like, "What makes it hard for you right now?" Just a gentle question like that. That's being a close friend. That's showing sensitivity to the need. Disconnected, insensitive, just be positive. None of this negativity will help anyone. A better thing to say is, "What do you wish that others would understand about what you're going through right now?" That's a far better way to talk to someone, isn't it, with a heavy heart. Or last one, "People have been through far worse. Why are you complaining? At least you're not a starving child in some third world country." So insensitive. Better to say something like, "Do you find there are times of day when it's worse for you?" Or is it more general than that? Just gently bringing out of them what they're going through, showing that you want to know. Mark Maynall says something helpful. He says, instead of pointing out the lovely weather, instead of singing songs to a heavy heart, think, listen, pray. Ask yourself, "What does this heavy heart most need from me right now?" That's good advice, isn't it? So, in the sermon so far, close friendship involves being picky. It involves being sticky. It involves treading sensitively. Let's have a short break now. And as we break, we need to go to the loo or get a drink. But as we break, for a couple of minutes, just share with your neighbor how God has spoken to you so far. Has anything stood out to you about friendship? Let's do that for a couple of minutes, and then we'll carry on. Okay. We'd like to bring your discussions to a close. Now, it sounded like you were having some good discussions, and that's great. And I just want to mention how you can continue the discussion. Join a life group. I've been having really positive feedback from people who've been saying that in their life groups, they've been having great discussions from this interpersonal relationship series. In case you don't know what goes on in the life groups, I produce some questions that are extracted from the sermon. So it's a chance to go over this subject again, but more in depth, more personal, asking the questions that you wished you could ask, figuring the things out that you weren't quite sure about, getting the collective wisdom of the group, and so on. So I really encourage you, join a life group if you're not already part of one. Do speak to me if you'd like to. There's some flyers out in the lobby that tell you when they are and who's running them, so you can get in contact. I highly recommend life groups. Okay, let's continue and finish off the sermon then. So, the fourth thing that Proverbs teaches us about friendship is a close friend brings you injury and felicity. Felicity is intense happiness and delight, and I was just getting carried away trying to get words that rhyme, so that's why it's a bit of an odd word, but it means joy and happiness and delight on an intense level. But we see these two things, injury and felicity, we see this in Proverbs 27. Better is open rebuke than hidden love. Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. Now notice the shock in this verse. It's here, wounds. Wow, that verse is telling us that close friends wound. they bring you injury and hurt. And a close friend will injure you, guaranteed, because they'll tell you the tough things. They'll tell you the things that you might not necessarily want to hear because they love you. They're not yes men. They don't just tell you what you want to hear. They'll tell you what you need to hear. They might rebuke you. They might have to take you aside and say, look, what you did, that was out of order, really. And that hurts. But you can trust them, even though it hurts, because you know that they're for you. Two quick stories to illustrate that. One preacher told this story to illustrate it. Imagine two close friends have met up for lunch, and one of them is just about to go out to a job interview. And he's eating his food, and he gets a splodge of mayonnaise on his tie. Now, you can hit the pause button. What's going to happen? The other friend can be slightly awkward and say, you've just dropped mayonnaise down your tie. Or they can just make it easy for themselves and not say anything. But they'll do that difficult thing. They'll point out the mayonnaise on the tie because they love their friend and they want them to wash it off and put it under the dryer and everything to get ready for the interview so they get the job. See, it's awkward, it's difficult. It's just that difficult thing in the relationship, but they'll go for it because they're a close friend. Another example from my life. When I was at Carey, I used to be involved in an outreach where we play football on Tuesday nights in Whitley, and then afterwards one of the guys would give a little talk, and I did a talk every month. And so I did my talk one time and I felt quite good about it, and then one close friend afterwards took me aside and said, I'd like to give you some feedback. And they said it was a good talk, but, and then they listed the things that were wrong with it. It was too long, there weren't enough examples, it was a bit boring. And that really hurt. Because I wanted him to say, you're the best public speaker ever, you are. But he didn't, he said the opposite. And he wounded me. But then I realized something. I realized that he's for me, that he wants to help me. That he wants to help me connect with people better. And that's why he's given me feedback. And that liberated me. And hopefully my talks on those Tuesday nights did improve. And I was able to work through those three things and get better. True friends wound us. But it's not all bad, because of Proverbs 27:9. They bring us felicity as well. Perfume and incense bring joy to the heart. And the pleasantness of a friend springs from their heartfelt advice. So friends bring us pleasantness as well as injury. In this context, why do they bring pleasantness? It's because they... Do you remember last time we talked about opening your heart? They open their heart. Remember Paul said to the Corinthians, open your hearts to us as we have done to you. Because they give this heartfelt advice, and it's also translated earnest counsel. They really care. And by opening their heart to you, they've made themselves vulnerable, because you can kind of lash out and hit back at them. But they're doing that because they want to bless you. And they want to improve your life. And there's a joy and an intimacy in opening of hearts, that close friendship thing that goes on. And it's pleasant, and it's like nothing else, and it's unique, and it's wonderful. So close friends bring injury, but they also bring felicity. It's a bit of a paradox, isn't there? Those two things that seem to clash, but they both spring from the same source, this desire to bless the other. Let's finish now. I wonder what you're thinking right now. Sometimes I think we can be thinking two things. We can be thinking, number one, I want to be that good friend, but I'm not. How can I be? Number two, I feel lonely because I haven't got a friend like that. I wish I did, but I haven't got a close friend. As we finish off, I'm going to think about the closest friend there is and his friendship, and then how that inspires us and empowers us and transforms us so we can start to be the close friend that Proverbs describes. So to be a close friend, embrace the ultimate close friend. Jesus is the ultimate close friend. He said in John 15:13, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. And then, John 15:15, listen to Jesus. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I've called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. So he's inviting the disciples in. He's not treating them just as servants. He's saying, come and be part of the family business. Come and be privy to the inner workings of me and my Father. I want you to be my friends. And as we look at what Jesus' friendship means to us, that comforts us if we don't have any friends, close friends, and will inspire us to be the close friend to other people. Now, I don't know whether you noticed, as we went through those things in the Proverbs, they are describing a close friend, but they're describing Jesus too. So that's how we're going to finish off. So remember the first point, be picky, choosing carefully. Jesus chose you. He chose you to be his friend. John 15:16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Jesus picked you out carefully to be his friend. He took care. He thought about you. That's incredible, isn't it? Why? To bless you, to cause you to bloom and blossom and bear fruit and be better in this world. That's special, isn't it? And as we think about that, the Saviour chose me. He wants me to be his friend. I am his friend. He welcomes me in. Then our thinking is transformed, because we choose our friends carefully, as per Proverbs, but we think, I'm doing that to bless them. I want to bless my friends. I want them to be fruitful. So I'm choosing them. It's not like, what do I get out of this? Although that's important. It's, I'm choosing my friends carefully so I can cause them to reach their full spiritual potential and bear fruit and flourish and so on. Jesus chose you. Then we thought about a close friend is sticky, remember? Jesus stuck to you. Jesus is the ultimate sticky friend. He sticks closer than a brother. He's that one that proverb points across into the New Testament towards. He died for his friends, even though they had abandoned him. He stuck to the cross. He allowed himself to be stuck to the cross, to be pinned to it. Voluntarily allowed himself not to move. Even to death he stuck to his friends, to you, to me. That's the depth of Jesus' friendship. And as we appreciate that and take it in, how close Jesus stuck to me despite the cost, we start to want to stick to our close friends like that, in that same manner, even if it means difficulty or pain. Even if, like in that Frodo Samwise example, our friend has been horrible to us. No, I'm going to stick to you. I'm going to stay with you because I care about you. And then we thought about a close friend treads sensitively. Jesus is emotionally connected to you. Do you remember we did that little chart? Emotionally disconnected and emotionally connected. He's emotionally connected to you. This is one of the most fascinating verses in the Bible, I think, in Acts. Do you remember when Saul was persecuting the church and he encountered Jesus? And Jesus said to him, Saul, why are you persecuting my church, my people? Christians, we expect him to say, but he doesn't. He says, me. Because he's so emotionally connected, spiritually connected to his friends, that when Saul's persecuting them, they're persecuting Jesus. He's the head, they're the body. There's a connection, isn't there, between the two. Jesus is connected to you. He feels your pain. He knows what you're going through. He actually feels it when you're struggling because of that connection. That's what close friendship is. That brings us so much comfort if we haven't got a close friend ourselves. And as we appreciate that emotional connection, we get emotionally connected to our friends. That verse in Romans, rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. That's what starts to happen. We don't just blunder in, like we saw, saying inappropriate things. We weep with them, and we laugh with them when they're laughing because of that connection, because we're on their wavelength. We know instinctively how they're feeling, and we feel what they're going through. We feel their pain. We feel their need. and we cry with them. And then fourthly, a close friend brings injury and felicity. Jesus does that because Jesus disciplines and loves us. Jesus actually brings us hurt and delight, that paradox. He brings us those two things. You see, he rebukes us sometimes, doesn't he? Sometimes he challenges us, and that can be painful. You shouldn't be doing that. You shouldn't be saying that. You need to change that. He regularly does that through his word. But we can trust his rebuke because we know he's for us. And because I'm so secure in his love for me, because the cross proves without a shadow, beyond a shadow of a doubt, how much he loves me, I can take it. I can take that rebuke. I can enjoy his care for me. And as well as rebuke, because he doesn't just tell us off all the time, his words bring joy because they're words of love. And that security, those words of love, give me such security that I have the courage to rebuke my friends, not being fearful of their rejection, because I'm so secure in his love for me. And so we can rebuke our friends from the security we get from Jesus being the ultimate friend, because it's not easy, is it? And we can bring them joy too, mirroring the joy that Jesus brings us. And it's that openness, isn't it? It's that advice from a concerned heart that brings our friends the most joy and deepens the intimacy of our friendship. So we're done. How do we be a close friend? Embrace the ultimate friend. How do we receive close friendship if we're not receiving it from other human beings? Embrace the ultimate friend. How do we get eternal life and know that we're secure for now and right on into eternity? Embrace the ultimate friend. Jesus is there with his arms out wide saying, come to me, you who are heavy laden, you who are lonely, you who are struggling, you who've got sin and doubt and guilt, come to me. I'll be your friend. I'll take your sin on myself. And I'll commit myself to you in friendship love forever. I'll be that friend who sticks closer than a brother.